The following is a paid advertisement. All views and or opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.
Welcome to Treat the Cause, the program dedicated to helping you find and treat the root causes of some of the most common health challenges. Dr. Kyle Pankinen is a board-certified chiropractic orthopedist and certified functional medicine practitioner. Join him as he teaches you about the causes and solutions to the health challenges that affect many people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kyle Pankinen, and thank you for joining me for today's episode of Treat the Cause. We're going to do an episode today on the most common reason for people to visit my office, and the fifth most common reason why people visit a doctor of any kind, which is low back pain, and in this case, chronic low back pain. I do several episodes a year on this because it's such a big problem, obviously, from what I just listed there. So many people are looking for help, and in many cases, they aren't given good direction. And I think as I go through this episode, I hope to give you good direction on what to do and maybe what not to do. And because there's a lot of people out there that are, in my opinion, suffering needlessly, and that could get help if they only knew which direction to turn. And so I want to start out today's episode by talking about opioid drugs. Of course, if you listen to the news at all or pay attention at all, you realize that opioid medication is it's a big drug abuse problem in the United States. And we're seeing a lot of addiction. We're seeing a lot of lost lives, and a large percentage of that, as I dig in today, you'll realize is because of low back pain. And these people being treated with these opioids, in my opinion, too often with these medications. And it doesn't need to be that way. It shouldn't be that way, but that's unfortunately what we're seeing. So in the United States, the percentage of adults who were prescribed opioids, 59% reported back pain. So, in other words, I don't know if I worded that quite right, but of the people that are prescribed opioids for pain in the United States, 59% of them are for treating back pain. And according to other statistics, the percentage of adults in the United States in 2015 with low back pain was 29.1%, but in 2017, that number was 49%. So it affects a huge swath of the population. So they estimate somewhere, at least in most years, that the one-year prevalence of low back pain ranges from 15 to 45%, and a lifetime prevalence of 50 to 80%. That means at some point in their lifetime, nearly 80% of people will have some significant episode of low back pain. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they have it for days or a week or two or a month and maybe even a few months, but it goes away. The problem is, though, that for many people, it turns chronic. And that's where it really can become a big problem in people's lives. So some doctors consider chronic pain if it goes beyond 3 months, but definitely all doctors consider if it's beyond 6 months to be chronic pain. So it's considered chronic when it lasts longer than 6 months and after the healing of the original injury. In other words, if a person had a back injury, maybe at work or whatever, and it should be fully healed in that 3 to 6 month time range. If it hasn't, that's considered a chronic pain condition. So the sad thing about chronic pain is that chronic pain suffer from more than just the pain. They experience things like depression, anxiety, sleep disturbances, and decision-making abnormalities that also significantly diminish their quality of life. If you think about it, you know, a lot of people that are depressed, you know, sometimes we think it's some type of a chemical imbalance or something like that, or a traumatic event in life. But a lot of people are depressed because they hurt every day. And I think you and I, if you're not somebody that lives in chronic pain, maybe we can't relate to this as well. But, you know, I've had periods in my life where I didn't feel well for a week or 10 days, or I was in some kind of pain maybe off and on for several weeks. And, you know, it wears on a person. It really does, mentally and physically. And so it's no wonder that a lot of these people get depressed, that they have anxiety. If you think about, say a guy in his home that is trying to provide for his family, and he's thinking, I don't know if I can continue to work with this back pain. Well, that's a terrible emotional stressor on a lot of these, and for gals too. How am I going to take care of my kids? I can't even pick them up. Things like that. I can't take care of things around the house. Doing laundry or vacuuming, it kills my back. You can see where people fall into depression, not because they have pre-existing psychological problems, but they are hurting, and it wears them down over a period of time. So they've also shown that chronic pain affects the brain. They've shown changes in brain function in sufferers from Alzheimer's disease, depression, schizophrenia, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So it's just chronic pain messes up your nervous system, your spinal cord, your brain. Chronic pain has a cause and effect on the morphology of the spinal cord and the brain, resulting in a process called linear shrinkage. So it damages the nerves in your body, your spinal cord and your brain. And linear shrinkage, well, what is that? It's atrophy. It's lessening of the brain function. So, you know, we think, well, chronic back pain is just localized to the back. No, it affects your body in negative, profoundly negative ways. A 2004 study reported that 10% of adults suffer from severe chronic pain, and that back problems constitute 25% of all disabling occupational injuries. And get this, this is a really interesting stat. It's the fifth most common reason for visits to the clinic. So, you know, you think about all the people across the United States that visit a healthcare provider for any reason, low back pain is the fifth most common reason why people seek out help. So clearly, folks, there's a great need out there, and that's why in my chiropractic practice, that's the number one thing. I mean, I see people with all kinds of different pain conditions, but low back pain takes the cake day in and day out of what people are coming in and seeking relief for. So we need to offer great solutions for it. And I think as I go on today, you'll see we have that. So interestingly, we'll go talk a little bit more about opioids here. A couple of snippets from some studies I pulled together, that 1 in 5 patients with non-cancer pain or pain-related diagnosis is prescribed opioids in an office-based setting. Primary care clinicians account for 50% of opioid prescriptions. If you use an opioid for one day, you're exposed to it, there's a 6% chance of being on opioids 1 year later, increasing to 13.5% by 8 days, and 29.9%, so almost 30% by 31 days. So once you start down that road, folks, of using these powerful medicines to treat this chronic pain, it greatly increases the risk you're going to stay on it, which of course leads to what? Addiction. So among drug overdoses in the United States in 2014, 28,647, or 61%, involved an opioid. Opioids were involved in 75% of pharmaceutical deaths in 2010, and in 2015, over 22,000 deaths involved prescription opioids were recorded, an increase of 19,000 deaths over the previous year. So this has been a growing problem, and it's affecting so many people. It's sad. It really is sad what's happening, and most of it is not needed. And I'll share a little bit more. If you got a question, reach out to us at 507-752-7650, or look us up online at redrockchiro.com, or email us at redrockchiro@centurytel.net. When you click on our website or go to our website at redrockchiro.com, you'll find a tab for the show Treat the Cause. You'll find archives to past episodes. You'll find information on there about laser therapy, spinal decompression therapy, which are two very powerful treatment options for the back pain sufferer. So look at those. And lots of good information on there. You know, it matters. I want to dig into this, and I want to be a little sensitive on what I'm going to say next, but it needs to be said. It really matters, people, who you go see when you have back troubles, especially who you see first. And a lot of people that have back pain, they're never given a correct diagnosis. In fact, one of the studies I've read recently shows that 85% of people that visit just their regular medical doctors are never given an accurate diagnosis. In other words, they don't find the cause. Well, why is that, you might ask? Don't they get training to do this? So I'm going to read some statistics from a 2007 report. And this is not meant to be inflammatory or controversial. These are just facts. So this was a 2007. It was reported that only 26% of fourth-year Harvard medical students had a cognitive mastery of physical medicine. A 2005 report said that incoming interns at the University of Pennsylvania took an exam of musculoskeletal aptitude and competence, which was validated by a survey of more than 100 orthopedic program chairpersons across the country. 82% of students failed to show basic competency. Perhaps the poor knowledge base resulted from inadequate and disproportionately low numbers of hours devoted to musculoskeletal medicine education during the undergraduate medical school years. Less than one half of 122 U.S. medical schools require a preclinical course in musculoskeletal medicine. Less than one-fourth require a clinical course, and nearly half have no required preclinical or clinical course. In Canadian medical schools, just more than 2% of curricular time is spent on musculoskeletal medicine, despite the fact that 20% of primary care practice is devoted to the care of patients with musculoskeletal problems. Various authors have described shortcomings in medical school training in fracture care, arthritis, rheumatology, and basic physical examinations of the musculoskeletal system. Folks, I'm not saying anything disparaging here. I'm just saying if you have pain, if you have back pain, if you have knee pain, if you have hip pain, if you have shoulder pain, and you go see your primary doctor first, what are the odds that they're going to be able to diagnose your problem correctly if it's a musculoskeletal problem? In other words, bones, joints, muscles, nerve type problem. The odds aren't very good because they just simply don't have adequate training in that particular area. Now, they have training in other things that they're great at. They're wonderful at. But this isn't an adequacy. So if you're going to your doc thinking, boy, he's going to figure out or she's going to figure out what's causing my pain and get me on the right direction of what to do, it's not going to happen, folks. It just is not. So that's why we have such a, and if you don't know what to do with pain, if you don't know how to correctly diagnose this, what are you going to do? Well, Mrs. Jones, here's your pain pill. Here's your opioid. Here's your anti-inflammatory. Here's your muscle relaxer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to pain relief. I'm all for that, just like you are. But those don't fix anything. You don't get anywhere with that approach, folks. And that's why so many people out there are just living with pain. Pills don't fix problems. Shots don't fix problems. And surgery is only indicated in a small percentage of these types of cases. Therefore, most of these cases should be treated outside of a traditional medical setting. Okay? So, let's go on with some research. Recently published clinical guidelines from the American College of Physicians recommended non-pharmacological treatment is the first line approach to treating back pain, with consideration of opioids only as the last treatment option, or if other options present substantial harm to the patient. And recent systematic review and meta-analysis found that for treatment of acute low back pain, spinal manipulation provides a clinical benefit equivalent or greater to that of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs with no evidence of serious harm. Spinal manipulation is also shown to be an effective treatment option for chronic low back pain. Folks, a large percentage of the clinical hours and training of the doctor of chiropractic is devoted to neuromusculoskeletal medicine. I'm a board certified chiropractic orthopedist. I am a fellow in the International Academy of Neuromusculoskeletal Medicine. I don't say that braggingly. I'm just saying that I have more training, and so does the average chiropractic doctor out there in terms of neuromusculoskeletal medicine. So if you go to a chiropractor first for your back problem, your pain problem, what are the odds that you're going to receive a correct diagnosis and a correct line of treatment? I would propose to you that it's much higher, simply because of the difference in training and the emphasis of training into the two disciplines. Okay? So your first line of treatment should be conservative, non-drug, non-surgical first. And if that fails to provide the relief that you're looking for, well, then you may have to go on to other things. Very interestingly, I'm going to read a little bit more from this study. A retrospective claim study of 165,569 adults found that the utilization of chiropractic services delivered by doctors of chiropractic was associated with reduced use of opioids. More recently, it was reported that the supply of chiropractors as well as spending on spinal manipulative therapy is inversely correlated with opioid prescriptions in younger Medicare beneficiaries. So, What they're basically saying is, or this study suggests, that the increased availability and utilization of services delivered by doctors of chiropractic could lead to reductions in opioid prescriptions. It has been reported that services delivered by doctor of chiropractic may improve health behaviors and reduced use of prescription drugs. Pain management services provided by doctors of chiropractic may allow patients to use lower or less frequent dosages of opioids, leading to lower costs and reduced risk of adverse effects. So, how do you reduce reliance on pain pills in the United States? Get under the care of a good chiropractor. Not saying we fix everything and we got all the answers to everything, but if you got pain, especially back pain, it's a great place to start. The other bit of data I wanted to go over about this was in terms of surgery. A study that they did in workers' comp showed that people that it mattered who they saw first. If they saw their doctor of chiropractic first, there was only a 1.5% chance that they ended up having spinal surgery. Conversely, if they saw a spinal specialist, so like an orthopedist or a neurosurgeon first, in other words, they saw their regular doc who sent them immediately to a specialist for their work-related back injury, 42.5% of those people ended up having low back surgery. That's crazy, folks. You think of the costs to our healthcare system. And they've also done studies that show that people that have been told, by a specialist, you need to have spine surgery. What they've done in some of these groups is they've then said, okay, before you have spine surgery, we're going to have you go through a 2-week or a 4-week or 8-week or a 3-month course of chiropractic care. And then if that doesn't work, well, then we'll do surgery. And they found in the studies that over 60% of the people that were told you need surgery, once they went through good chiropractic treatment, guess what? They didn't need surgery anymore. So we need to change our mindset, folks, when it comes to treating chronic pain, especially chronic back pain. In America, we rely way, 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 way too much on drugs. We do more spine surgeries than any nation on the planet. And the only reason that we do more is because we have more surgeons. A couple other tidbits I want to share about this opioid thing. The adjusted likelihood of filling a prescription opioid analgesic was 55% lower for recipients of services provided by a doctor of chiropractic compared with non-recipients. Think about that, folks. How many people's lives could be spared that get addicted to these drugs if they only were told, go to your chiropractor. You got back pain, go to your chiropractor and get as much relief that way as you can before we think about using these drugs. How many people could be spared from spine surgery? Well, the studies show at least 60% of people that are told they need spine surgery really don't need it if they would be under chiropractic treatment. And so, in my humble opinion, folks, and based upon the research, chiropractic should be considered the first line of treatment and the first line of referrals. Chiropractors should be the primary care providers for spine care. And only those cases that involve fractures or tumors or infections in the spine, those ones need to be referred out and see some type of a medical specialist. Totally agreed. And so, but if you have spine pain that's not due to fracture, not due to tumor, not due to infection, which is about 99% of cases, you need the services of a well-trained, competent neuromusculoskeletal specialist. That there, folks, is the chiropractor down the road from you. Might be blocks away, but they have the training and the knowledge and the expertise to handle most of these cases that walk through the door. And there are some that have different techniques and that have more advanced training than others, but the bottom line is that should be your first stop. And if you can't get relief you're looking for there, well, maybe you go on to other things. But so I hope you realize I'm pretty passionate about this stuff. I hope that came through in what I talked about today. And just this one topic alone could save our healthcare system billions of dollars if low back pain was managed right. So thank you for joining me for today's episode of Treat the Cause. We'll catch you back in a week or two.
Thanks for listening to Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen. Dr. Pankinen owns and operates Red Rock Chiropractic Center in Lamberton. You can learn more about the practice and request an appointment by visiting redrockchiro.com or by calling 507-752-7650. Red Rock Chiropractic has convenient hours to fit your schedule. Once again, you can contact them at redrockchiro.com or call 507-752-7650. Be sure to tune in next time for Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen.
The preceding was a paid advertisement. All views and our opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.